The story was told of the preacher who went to the filling station, and he was rather in a hurry. And so, of course, in this day of self-service, you have to get out of the car, you know, and get the pump going. And as I say, he was rather in a hurry, and it was quite obvious to the row of elderly fellows sitting on the seats in front of the service station. And one of the fellows that was sitting there exclaimed, "What's the matter, preacher? The devil after you?" And calmly the preacher, pumping the gas, thought for a minute, and he says, "Yeah, the devil is after me." And the same old fella from the seat next to the wall of the service station, propped up and leaning back, laughed and said, "Yeah, well, he ain't after me." And as the preacher finished pumping the gas, he just said, "You're right. He's already got you." And he went on his way. Well, you know, it's interesting because the perceptions we have about our relationship with God differ, don't they? And I think it's very interesting that they differ to the extent that usually, I'm speaking for myself now, usually I think of my relationship with God more highly than I ought to be thinking about it. And I find out later, much to my chagrin, that comments I've made about the closeness of that relationship with God through Jesus Christ hasn't been as exact as I might want it to be. I think the parables which Jesus lays before us in Matthew 13 are given to us for that very reason, and particularly the parable that this chapter begins with, the parable of the sower. And as we get into our topic and begin to look at the parables of Matthew 13 in response to your request, I want first of all to look at the background a little bit of this section of Matthew 13 and the background of the parable. Look at the parable itself, and then we can jump into the interpretation of that parable which we've just read, and hopefully apply it to our own hearts and our own lives as the Lord Jesus Christ would have us apply the parable. So let's look at the background of this section of the book of Matthew. You know, the book of Matthew is kind of interesting because the book of Matthew runs kind of like this. There is a narrative section and then a teaching section, and then another narrative section and another teaching section, and then another narrative section and another teaching section. For example, the beginning of the book of Matthew, the first four chapters, we have the narratives concerning the birth of Jesus Christ and the beginning of His ministry. Then in chapters 5, 6, and 7, we have the wonderful teaching section we've come to know as the Sermon on the Mount. Then in chapters 8 and 9, we resume some narratives concerning the ministry of Jesus and how He carries out that ministry. In chapter 10, we have some specific teachings concerning the sending out of the disciples and specific instructions given to the disciples as they begin their own ministries. And then in chapters 11 and 12, we have further narratives concerning the Galilean ministry of Jesus. And it happens at the end of chapter 12, or in chapter 12, we have some confrontations that Jesus has with the Pharisees. For example, if you look in chapter 12 and verse 38, it says, "Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, 'Teacher, we want to see a sign from you.'" And they're challenging the Lord Jesus. They don't want to follow him. And he's proclaiming himself as the Messiah, and they're rejecting his claim as Messiah. And so they challenge Jesus. And we have that interchange. And then at the end of chapter 12, the people come to Jesus and they say, your family's outside. You need to acknowledge them. And lo and behold, Jesus Christ redefines his family. And he says that his family really is his disciples, those that follow him. Verse 49 in chapter 12 says, "And stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he said, 'Behold my mother and my brothers.'" And in this context then, where there is confrontation with the Pharisees concerning his claim as Messiah and his laying out who it is that really belongs to his family, Jesus begins to teach. And he lays out several parables. The beginning of chapter 13 is simple. "On that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and a great multitude gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole multitude was standing on the beach." And it's that familiar picture we have of the crowd gathered on the beach, and it's pressing. And so Jesus has to get into the boat, and he uses the prow of that boat as a pulpit. He stands. He begins to teach the people there. And he begins to speak in parables. Verse 3 says, "And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, 'Behold, the sower went out to sow.'" We have this wonderful and familiar parable of the sower. We need to keep in mind in this context also that, interestingly enough, Jesus gives us 7 parables of the kingdom in this chapter. He gives us a parable concerning the seed of the Word of God and how it's received. He gives us a parable concerning the mixed nature of the kingdom in this world and the perfection of the kingdom in the world to come. He gives us a couple of parables concerning the growth of the kingdom. And he gives us parables concerning the precious nature of the kingdom. 7 parables, rounding out, I think, in a perfect manner. I think this is what Jesus intended, in a perfect manner, his teaching on the kingdom of heaven. There's something else I think that we need to catch here. If you look at verse 24 in chapter 13, it says, "He presented another parable to them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field.'" If you compare with this Mark chapter 4 and verse 26, in the very same context, the very same parable is told. Only in Mark it says, "He was saying, 'The kingdom of God is like a man who casts his seed upon the soil.'" I don't think we should be confused with that, because I think those terms, we understand Jesus, are used interchangeably. Well, the parable which is before us is a parable that has to do with farming. Now, you fellows that farm understand better than the rest of us that this parable about farming is not concerned with the kind of farming we're used to, or that you're used to. It's not the kind of farming that's done with heavy equipment. It's not the kind of farming that involved tedious preparation of the soil. It's not the kind of farming that involved being very particular and very careful about the area in which the farming was being done. Here was farming that was carried out by a sower that hauled a bag of seed around and broadcast that seed by hand. And therefore, Jesus is able in this context. In our modern context, with our modern farming, the analogy wouldn't be so close. But because of that unsophisticated time in which the seed was just broadcast by hand, Jesus can talk about four kinds of soils upon which the sower broadcasts the seed. The pathway that might be through the field upon which the seed would land. I remember when I was in Korea, the fields of the Koreans were like that. There were paths that would go through the field. Not so in our time. Some of that seed would fall on the path. In our day and age, we take a lot of work and we get the rocks out of the field. And we make sure we're not planting seed on soil which is very shallow. Not so in that day. Some of the seed would fall on shallow soil. In our day and age, when we use chemicals, year in and year out, we want to make sure that all of the seeds from the weeds are killed in the soil because, hey, you know it better than I do. If those weed seeds remain in the soil, you can kill the weeds that are on top, but boy, those weeds are going to come popping through right away. It happened in that day. Weedy soil. And then there was the good soil. Finally, in the parable, at the end of the parable in chapter 13 and verse 9, Jesus has the words, it seems to me, that are the key to our understanding. He who has ears, let him hear. You realize this, don't you, folks? That you can hear and not hear. You can see and not see. You can understand what Jesus has to say, yet not understand what Jesus has to say. He who has ears, the person who really has ears to hear, let him hear what Jesus has to say. Because he's speaking to us. He's speaking to you and to me this morning. Jesus is the sower, and the Word of God is the seed. And the question for each one of us this morning is, what type of soil are we? What type of soil are you? That's the question. I think you understand as well as I do that individuals can sit in an assembly like this and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ repeatedly and not really get it. A couple of years ago, I was in a church service, and the way that auditorium was set up is they had pews on the outside that faced in. That was kind of different. At least it was different for me, because that meant when I sat there, I could look down all the rows of these pews. And I could see for myself how some of the people were reacting to what the preacher was saying. And on this occasion, the preacher stood up, and one of the first things he said after he read the Bible was, you need to understand, first of all, that you cannot understand the gospel unless you've been born again. My response to that was immediately, yes and no. He who has ears, let him hear. You can understand and not understand. It was real interesting to me because a family, which was sitting almost directly in front of me, I could see them down the pew when the pastor announced in those words his subject. This fellow folded his hands across his chest, bowed his head and closed his eyes, and immediately went to sleep. My impression was this. You're saying to yourself, I've heard this over and over again, I understand it. I don't need to hear it again. And his son, which was right next to him, put his hands on the pew in front of him, put his forehead on his hands, and he too went to sleep.
He who has ears, let him hear. Jesus is saying. Well, what does the parable tell us? Let's look at the interpretation that Jesus gives. Notice in verse 18, Jesus says, "Hear then the parable of the sower." The disciples had already heard it, but now Jesus says, "Hear then the parable," and he's going to explain it to them in a little bit more detail. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. Hearing the parable and not having understanding of it is the situation in the first case. I'm repeating myself here, and I know it, but keep your finger here in Matthew 13 and turn back, if you would, to Matthew 21. Matthew 21 and verse 45. You see, the word which Jesus uses here in Matthew 13 and is translated understand or understanding is used in every case, as far as I could find. It's used in every case to mean understand in a saving way, where the Word of God comes home and you embrace Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. In Matthew 21:45, we find something kind of interesting. And when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, you see, they heard the parables, they understood that he was speaking about them. Here was an understanding of what these parables had to say. The chief priests and the scribes understood. The word more particularly is the word know. They knew that his parables, in this case, in this latter case, had to do with them. And they were infuriated. They had an understanding, all right, but it was not an understanding of the saving work of Jesus Christ. They did not hear the Word of God and understand it in a saving way. And so Jesus in Matthew 13 is pointing this out. And what happens in the case where individuals hear the Word of God, but it doesn't come home to them in a saving way? Jesus says the birds come along and pick the seeds. He says the birds are the evil one, and they pick your brains. That's kind of interesting. The evil one is like a cat burglar. You know, you've seen stories about these kind of characters. They want to go into the museum and steal the most precious thing in the museum, and they use all kinds of exotic ways of getting in to foil the safety devices. The devil's like that. And he enters the heart of that individual who does not savingly grasp the Word of God, and he snatches that precious seed and he takes it away. Where are we in this? Are you like that individual from whom the birds snatch the precious seed? Verses 20 and 21 give us a second type of soil. And the one on whom seed was sown on rocky places, this is the man who hears the word. You see, in each case, There is a hearing of the word. This is the one who hears the word, and the man who hears the word, and immediately he receives it with joy. Here there's a response. It's a different response. This is a positive response. I want to tell you something. I'm going to tell you about an incident that I was involved in. In Mineola, Kansas, this was, I don't know, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, there was a community crusade, and the fellow who was brought in to preach, preached the gospel. I heard him. He preached the gospel. He laid before individuals in that community the fact that Jesus Christ came into the world. He was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life. He died on Calvary's cross. He was put on that cross by ungodly people. He bore the sins of those in the community who were there. He bore the sins of others. He rose again after having been buried. And he called men and women in that community to repent of their sins and to trust in this Jesus. And 81 people responded. Publicly, in those meetings. And those people were carefully, I know because I was there, they were carefully followed up. And in some cases, members of churches in that community followed those people tenaciously. I mean, they were after them. And out of those people who responded publicly in those meetings, not one individual aligned themselves with the body of Jesus Christ. Not one. Temporary. Look at what the Word of God says here. And the one on whom seed was sown on rocky places, this is a man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when afflictions or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. Young people, you are particularly vulnerable at this point. Peer pressure is horrendous. I know it is. And I know, especially in high school, where young people make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ and declare that they're going to follow Him, others will come along and say, "Oh, you really need this guy for a crutch in life? Ah, sissy." And they'll try and intimidate you and embarrass you so that you will not follow Jesus Christ. Verse 21 says, "And yet he has no root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises, because of the word, immediately he falls away." What kind of soil are you? Then there is a third kind of soil. "And the one on whom seed was sown among thorns, this is the man who hears the word." You see, again, there's a hearing of the word of God. "And the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." The key here is that there's no fruit. You know, the wonderful thing about the Christian life is that Christians bear fruit. They are fruitful. Their lives have been changed so that they're full of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and meekness and self-control. One of my favorite people in the world is a man by the name of Glenn Black. Some of you people know him. He graduated years ago from Sterling College, and I think he lived right across the street from Cooper Hall. And I've flown in plane with Glenn. Here's a guy who, in World War II, lost his elbow. One of his elbows. I don't remember which one. Was shot off. And you know what? He had his arms set. Can't bend his arm. He had his arm set at a particular angle so he could fly his airplane. He's just dedicated to doing that. And you know why he was dedicated to doing that? He wanted to travel places to carry people for ministry. That's where his heart was. And I don't know a guy that is more loving and patient and kind. He's a gem of a person. There's fruit in his life. What a guy. You see here, though, the one on whom seed was sown among thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. You know, young people, young married people, are particularly vulnerable, it seems to me, at one of these places. The worry of the world. What's going to happen to me when I graduate from college? Am I going to get the right job? Is there going to be a job for me when I graduate from college? Where am I going to live? I need a place to live. What about health concerns? You know, in our family, we're looking forward to a wedding, and I'm just absolutely astounded because one of the first concerns was health insurance. That would have been the last thing I would have been interested in. But that was one of the first things. One of the first questions that arose. The worry of the world. The cares of the world. And then there are older folks. You know what happens when you get a little bit older? You get established in a business. And then you begin to think, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to my business? Who's going to take over my business? Who's going to take over my farm? How is it going to work? And the worry of that crushes in and can smother the Word of God. What kind of soil are you? Hard? Stony? Weedy? Or good soil tilled by the Spirit of God? Look at the end of the parable as Jesus interprets it. Verse 23. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands. See, in the first case, there was a hearing of the word and no understanding. In the second case, there was a hearing of the word and no fruit because there was no depth of soil. In the third case, there was a hearing of the word and no fruit because the weeds choked it out. But now there's fruit. There's new life. There's change. What a wonder it is. You know, it's an exciting thing when you see people changed by the Word of God and living for Jesus Christ. Notice that Jesus says that these people bear fruit. Not just once, twice. They bear fruit and bring forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. There's a variety of fruit, and there is a variety of times, and there are a variety of situations. But the Christian life is there. And it makes a difference. All that's done. Folks, this morning, young and old, in the middle, what kind of soil are you? The sower is Jesus Christ. He is sowing the Word of God, and He's doing so presently. What kind of soil are you? Are you the one who bears fruit? 30, 60, 100-fold. Let's pray together. Father, we have to ask the question because Jesus lays it before us. And I pray, Almighty God, that You'd be pleased to work in the hearts of every individual in this auditorium this morning. And I ask, O God, by the work of Your Spirit, that You would dig deep furrows in the hearts of every individual, and that You would plant the seed of the Word of God, and that it would grow and bear much fruit. Bless us to that end. In the name of Jesus.